Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to Rosedale United Church. My name is Kristen Phillipson. I'm the minister here for worship and spiritual care. It's so wonderful to see you this morning, to gather as this community. With me in leadership is Dr. Sarah Svensson, our music director, and our organ scholar, Sarah Gangle. And our choir is among you. And we are a congregation committed to supporting human flourishing here in the heart of our neighborhood and in our city. We gather to learn, to grow, and to serve. Today is a really celebratory day. It's our annual general meeting where we look back to the wonderful work supporting flourishing that we have done in 2024, and we look ahead to the good work that we will do in 2025. So that meeting is happening immediately following our worship service. So if you can stay, I encourage you. We will have food so that you won't be hungry. We've got sandwiches, we've got coffee, tea, cookies, and yes, applause for that. So really do stay. It's just going to be a wonderful time to celebrate, and also to celebrate all of you as the volunteers who make this the flourishing place that it is to be. I'm excited to announce that we have hired a new full-time facilities coordinator. Yeah. It's really wonderful. This happened much more quickly than we thought. His name is Jonathan Sconza, and he brings over a decade of hands-on experience in building operations from theaters and breweries to residential construction sites. And his first day will be on Wednesday, April the 9th. So you will be seeing a new face around here, and I do encourage you all to welcome Jonathan as you meet him. Sarah has some announcements.
Good morning. Just a few announcements from mostly the center. Just a note that our new term of classes started on April 1. So if you have anyone in your life who would like to practice and learn about music foundations and singing, ages 4 to 8, you should talk to me. Also, on Wednesdays, we have two senior fall prevention type classes. So there's a movement and music class, and there's also a Tai Chi, which can be for anyone. It's actually adults, but it is also designed that it can be helpful with fall prevention. So if you're interested in those things, feel free to ask me, or you can just sign up. The other thing is, we're very excited this year that we have been selected for Doors Open. This is a really big opportunity for our community and for the church and for the center to just say, hey, we're here, we want to meet you, and we need volunteers to help with that. So if you're interested in a 2 to 5 hour volunteer shift, up to you. On Saturday, May 24th, or Sunday, May 25th, that's not the long weekend, but the weekend after the long weekend. We need door greeters, someone to watch coffee, and I think elevator helpers in case we need the accessibility elevator to be running. So if you're interested in that, you can speak with me after the service or anytime. And we also will be offering volunteer hours for that if you have some youth in your life that might need to get their volunteer hours in a little last minute. This is a great opportunity. Finally, I have failed. Your bulletin does not communicate a very important member of our community. Jim Thomas, wave your hand. Jim Thomas, thank you so much, Jim, stepped in to play the flute. We have a piece today that we have so many capable musicians. We were moving people around, and Jim's, we have a couple of flautists in our choir, and Jim stepped in, and his name didn't get in the bulletin. So I apologize, but it should be in the bulletin. Jim is playing the flute for the anthem. Thank you very much.
The The beautiful flowers in the chancel today are in memory of Elizabeth Riddell Dixon's parents, Alan Dixon and Greta Riddell Dixon, who were married in this sanctuary at Rosedale United Church on April the 9th in 1949. And they are lovingly remembered today by Elizabeth. And it's really cool if you come up and take a look at the photos. You can see how our sanctuary, what it used to look like and how it has changed. So really, thank you for bringing those in, Elizabeth. And we think today of the family of Jane Wright. Jane Wright passed away last week, and we will be celebrating her life with her family on Friday, April the 11th. And so now I invite us to stand as we are able and to join with me in our call to worship. We come to church today as faithful disciples following Jesus. We come to church today carrying burdens, whether visible or invisible, seeking comfort, seeking grace, seeking community. We come to church today knowing that our hope lies in the sharing of love, our salvation in trust in the way of Jesus, and our power in the presence of God's Spirit, inspiring us. And so we gather together, we connect, and we worship, and we sing. Our opening hymn is, "I'm Gonna Live So God Can Use Me." Peace of Christ be with you all, and also with you. And we're going to say this to each other. I want you to turn to those who are around you, extend the peace of Christ, and welcome your neighbors. And I am lighting our tenebrae candles. We have been journeying through the season of Lent, and these candles are helping us to mark time on our journey through the Lenten wilderness. And I light now our Christ candle, which is a sign and a symbol of Christ's presence among us. We know that even when two or three are gathered, Christ is there. So I just want to invite us now into a moment of silence, just to take a moment to take a breath, to bring our hearts more deeply into this space and to open our minds as we gather ourselves with prayer. Let us pray. Good and holy God, we are here hungry for your presence. We come yearning for days when life seemed more predictable and less disruptive. Open us in this time to the work you have been doing in our lives and in our world. Continue to nudge us, pull us into the new creation you are making. We open our lives to you and pray to be filled with your grace and goodness. Free us from our pasts and open us to new possibilities. In the silence of our hearts, hear our deep regrets as we make them known to you. We pray now together as Jesus taught us, saying, O loving parent, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And we sing, Ubi Caritas. Opening the theme together, I have sort of a different question, just a fun, kind of light question, but you'll see immediately it's going to tie into our readings. I want you to remember the best dinner party you've ever been to or maybe put on yourself. Best dinner party ever. What made it so great? This is just for you. I invite you to take a trip back down memory lane as Sarah plays.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here, a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. This is the witness of the early church. May these words comfort us, challenge us, and inspire us.
Our second reading is from Psalm 126. Please join with me. Your lines are printed in bold in the order of service. When the divine lover enters the human heart, all yearnings are fulfilled. Then will our mouths ring forth with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Then we will sing our songs of praise to you, O beloved of all hearts, for gladness will radiate out for all to see. So great is your presence among us. Restore us to wholeness, O healer, like newborn babes who have never strayed from you. May all who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. May all who go forth weeping tears of repentance, bearing seeds of love, come home to you with shouts of joy, leaving sorrow behind. This is the witness of the Hebrew Scriptures. In these ancient words, may we find wisdom for living today.
And friends, we stand and sing our response. Spirit God, be our breath.
Thank you.
Friends, please be seated. And I want to invite you to open your heart and mind to our community, not just here among us, but all over the world as we share in these prayers of the people. There is a sung refrain that will come in the middle. We've been singing it. It is known to you. And if you're comfortable, when that moment comes, I invite you to join in. So let us pray. Loving God, we carry now in our hearts the image of Mary anointing Jesus. It is an image that inspires us in how to attend to others and for our collective well-being as a community of faith. Thank you for the way you speak to us through this image, inspiring our self-giving to a world that aches. We take this moment now to receive your gift of healing, giving thanks for your promise to each of us of new life. Attend to us and to all, and empower us. Empower us to do more than use the balm of your anointing for ourselves only. For we know our world is far broader and more diverse, even than this little part of your creation. We are here, Lord. Salve the wounds of war, of poverty, of inequity, and equip us here to pay attention with an openness to receive truth, that we might travel whatever path is before us with integrity and with action. We pray that you lead us by your Spirit, Lord. Amen. And I'll invite you to join with me in the words of our response and offering. We offer the work of our hands and the love of our hearts, the gifts of God as a blessing for the world. So in this moment, you are invited to continue your prayers by lighting a candle. Perhaps there's a person or a place this morning that's on your mind. Perhaps there is something within your own heart that you want to honor. And so there's stations on either side of the sanctuary, and you're invited to light a candle. You're also invited to make an offering to the life and the ministry of this church. And if you'd like to do so, our box is at the back, or you can access donations through our bulletin, the QR code. Equally, you are invited just to sit and enjoy Sarah's music and just to take a moment of peace for yourself. All options are open, and you are invited to take what works for you. Thank you. Thank you, choir, for your voices. Thank you, Jim, for the music. Always beautiful. I want to invite you into a moment of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One of the most precious and wonderful feelings of being alive is the feeling of being attended to. It is a rare feeling, precious, the feeling a person gets from being paid attention. We know it when someone truly attends to us. We feel we have been seen and received and understood. I think it must be like what a tree feels when the sun makes its sap start to flow. To be paid attention is to feel you've been restored. When someone attends to you, writes the poet John Fox, it is like holding out a dented cup you've had since childhood and watching it fill up with cold, fresh water. When someone pays us real attention, we can believe again in things like goodness and beauty and safety and pleasure and wonder and delight, because that person has helped us to experience all of these as real. I wonder if you can remember the last time someone paid you real attention, and not because it was their job, not because they were your hairdresser or your esthetician or your waiter or your nurse, but just because they made a choice to care about you. I went to a committee meeting this past winter, and normally we would meet on Zoom, but this time we decided to hold the meeting at one of the committee members' houses and over dinner. And walking into this woman's home was like walking into a refuge from the storm. Our host had set the table with fine china and linen napkins and opened a bottle of wine as if to say, "Important people are here." And the group members had put in an effort, contributing food that delighted the senses, full of ingredients I would have never thought to put together. Because of the dinner, we had to slow down, and the meeting felt human. I wonder if you can remember the last time you felt truly attended to. Maybe it was by a grandmother who cooked for you just exactly what she knew you liked, or a librarian who read to you, or a parent who paused what they were doing to take you on an outing. And can you remember the last time you really and properly paid attention to someone else? I mean, really paid attention to another person. Maybe you accompanied a friend to a medical treatment or massaged cream into a parent's hands or feet. The story we heard this morning about Mary anointing Jesus at Bethany is a story about the power of paying attention to a person. It's a story about the power of paying attention. Jesus and his disciples are on their way to Jerusalem along with all the other pilgrims. And it's 6 days before the major Jewish festival of Passover. And there is a warrant out for Jesus' arrest. He was attracting crowds of people to himself because of his teaching and healing, and the local authorities feared that the masses would draw the negative attention of the governing Roman army. The local authorities worried that it looked like Jesus was trying to start a potential revolt. If we let him go on like this, the temple authorities say in the Gospel of John, everyone will believe in him, and then the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation, they reasoned. So the temple police had given orders that if anyone found out where Jesus was, they should report it so that they might arrest him. In fact, that's the line in the Gospel of John that comes right before our story. Jesus has been in hiding because of his arrest warrant, and he's just decided that he will come out of hiding and go to Jerusalem. And it's a brave and a terrifying decision. And it's in this context that he stops at the home of his friends, the siblings, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. It's important to note that Mary doesn't just pour perfume on Jesus as if that's what she does all the time. I think it's important to note that she attends to him because she knows that he's scared and that he's trying to summon courage. We can forget that Jesus is human. Who on earth would be okay knowing that there's a warrant out for their arrest? Who on earth wouldn't be scared when they've been in hiding? And so what does Mary do? She just attends to Jesus. She pays him attention, offers a moment of caring. Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Mary just attends to Jesus. She pays him attention. One winter when I was in my 20s and back living at home with my parents in Edmonton and feeling very much in between and in the middle and not arrived, I took a drawing class at the neighborhood art center. I thought I might finally learn how to draw things. But what the instructor taught us instead was the art of paying attention, how to attend to what was in front of us, how to be attentive, how to observe, how to notice. You don't just draw what you think a tulip looks like, for example, a long straight line of a stem with a U-shaped bell for the petals. The instructor encouraged us to see our attention as something active, attention as something to engage, to notice the hundreds of distinct and individual shapes that make up a thing, to notice light and shadow. To be attentive was something we were to do. It was a way of relating to our world. We were to be attentive. It was active. We had to pay attention. Now, we live in a culture that is intensely concerned with attention, but not with being attentive, not with paying attention in the way that Mary attends to Jesus, not as a way of relating to the world. In our contemporary culture, attention matters only as a symbol of status. I recently posted information about a retreat I was holding on Instagram, and from the moment I pressed share, I was obsessed with checking to see how much attention my post was getting, whether anyone thought it was important, how many likes and views it had received. I read an interview this past week with the social psychologist Jonathan Haidt, who recently wrote a book called The Anxious Generation, about our culture's obsession with attention as a status symbol, and how this kind of attention doesn't give us the same wonderful and warm feeling as being truly attended to. In the interview, he said, normally, throughout history, to become prestigious, you had to become a good archer or a good leader or a good basket weaver. You had to do something in the world. And what social media and what our culture says is you don't have to do anything. Just whatever it takes to get people to follow you. We don't celebrate in our North American consumer culture the power of simply being attentive to each other. We don't celebrate attention as caring. We are also always, in our current culture, handing over our attention, giving it up and giving it away, because it's challenging to really attend to what is in front of us. I mean, complicated people and the circumstances of living right now. And we'd rather just feel good in this moment. We'd rather not feel bored or anxious or uncomfortable. I have noticed lately that I almost always have my earbuds in while I'm biking to and from work because I'd rather have my attention distracted by a podcast than to have to think my own thoughts. And I notice a staggering number of people like me out walking on the streets of Toronto, physically present in the world, but not really attending to it or paying attention because our minds are somewhere else. Wicked was one of the top five highest grossing films at the box office. It resonated. And I think one of its major themes is attention. And the difference between trying to get attention and actually paying attention. It's a musical about what happens when we stop attending to the people and places we care about. It's a musical that imagines the backstory of the Wicked Witch of the West from the original Wizard of Oz. It's the story of a young woman named Elphaba. And Elphaba doesn't get a lot of attention. Her parents are ashamed of her. She's the product of an infidelity. And also, because of some rare happenstance, she is born with green skin. She doesn't receive attention. And it's not something she seeks. The rest of the land of Oz, however, is obsessed with attention. The people of Oz have simply ceded control of their attention to the great wizard, an enormous fire-breathing face. When Elphaba goes off to university, she's assigned a roommate who is her polar opposite, a young woman named Glinda, who's someone who can't help but get attention. She's an expert in getting attention, and she takes on Elphaba as a kind of project to try to get her more attention. You will likely have heard the song Popular, where Glinda maps out her strategy. But I think the most telling song in the musical is a song called Dancing Through Life. It's sung by the new guy who arrives on campus, a prince, and it's about the supposed bliss of not attending to anything. Why invite the stress in, the prince sings. Stop studying strife and learn to live the unexamined life. Dancing through life, he sings, skimming the surface, gliding where turf is smooth. No need to tough it when you can slough it off as I do. Nothing matters, he sings. But knowing nothing matters. It's just life, so keep dancing through. It sounds like a joyful ode to frivolity. We're here for a good time, not a long time. But the call to embrace frivolity masks a deep despair. When we believe that it makes no difference what we attend to, when we believe it doesn't really matter whether we pay attention to the people and the places around us, when we believe that nothing we do matters, then we might as well just dance through life, attending to nothing and to no one. It affects a person profoundly to believe that nothing matters. In the same interview with the social psychologist I read, he talked about a study called Monitoring the Future, where every year since the 1970s, social scientists have surveyed 25,000 high school students in the United States and asked them the same set of questions and charted the variations. One of the questions is the following: my life feels useless. Do you agree or disagree with that? And since the survey started, always about 9% of young people agreed. But since 2012, the number has doubled, so that now almost 20% of young people feel as though nothing really matters. And scientists wonder if that is related to attention, how we no longer celebrate the power of paying attention to each other, and how there is money to be made in getting us to give our attention away. We tend to dismiss the character of Judas in the story of Mary anointing Jesus as just a bad seed. But I think Judas is actually struggling with very real and very human feelings that all of us share from time to time, the feeling that nothing really matters. So why not just attend to whatever will make this moment livable? If you've ever looked around at our world and just felt like it's impossible, it's just not possible to attend to what is here, then you know the demon with which Judas is wrestling. He looks at Mary and the attention she gives Jesus, how she attends to him, how she cares to him, and all he can think is, what good will come of that? What good is paying attention? I use this guide for preparing sermons, this set of questions I've had since university to help you interpret a text, and one of the questions is, with whom in this text do I identify? And I would like to say that I can only identify with Mary in our story, but the truth is that a real part of me can identify with Judas. Because underneath his brusqueness, why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? I can hear the same sadness that I have felt when I have attended to what I deeply value in the world. I mean to things like sustainability and peacefulness and patience and understanding, and as far as I can tell, none of it seems to alter the world around me. I can hear that same sadness underneath Judas's words. What good is perfume, Mary? When has attention ever really mattered? But then we do know, don't we? We can remember those moments in our own life when someone truly attended to us, the difference their attention made. It mattered. Attention matters. We know because it has mattered to us. I have only so many stories, and I may have told you this story, but what can I say? They're rare and precious, those moments when you feel attended to and cared for. When I was 5 years old, I took the yellow bus to kindergarten, and I must have been daydreaming because my stop came, and the bus driver opened the doors, and I forgot to get off the bus. And when I finally stopped daydreaming, we were driving in a part of the neighborhood that I didn't recognize, and I was terrified. Remember, I was only 5 years old. I didn't know how to take matters into my own hands, how to take control of a situation. I couldn't walk up to a bus driver and say, "Excuse me, I'm so sorry, I was completely out of it. I missed my stop just now. Can you loop around?" No. I sat completely petrified for the rest of the bus route as one child after another exited the bus until it was just me and the bus driver, and still I didn't say anything, I just hid. And the bus driver pulled up to her apartment, and then she walked the length of the bus checking for items that might have been lost. And when she got to the very last row, she found me, and I just burst into tears. "I don't know," I said. "I don't know what happened." And the bus driver just said, "It's okay, sweetheart. It's okay. I am here." We don't ever forget a moment when someone has truly attended to us. Attention matters. I don't know if there's anything more powerful than paying attention, than saying to a person with our actions as much as our words, "I am here." Attention makes goodness and beauty real. Last spring, I saw a play called The Inheritance, inspired by the novel Howard's End, and the book, like the book, the plot revolves around the inheritance of a country home, noted for its healing and restorative properties. And in the play, the home was used to attend to gay men who were dying of the AIDS virus. And they're cared for there by a woman named Margaret, who didn't understand how much attention really mattered until her own son was a patient at the house, and she came to visit him, and he had only hours left to live. And all she wanted was more time to pay him attention, to attend to him, because attention matters. And so after her son dies, she stays on at the house to care for the other men who come to die there. And the ointment, the perfume she pours out upon each of them is understanding and compassion, because many had never received these from their own families. And so it mattered, her care. "I held their hands as if they were my own child," she says near the end of the play. "I asked them about their pasts, their dreams, their lives that had been interrupted. Questions I should have spent years asking my son," she says. To be attentive is not just healing for the other, it's healing for us. We become a vessel. One of our most deeply held convictions as Christians is this strange concept called incarnation, the conviction that God comes to be with us through our bodies. It is one of the clearest ways we hear God say to us, "I am here." Through bus drivers and dear friends and hospice workers, all the people you remembered when you thought about those precious moments when you felt attended to and cared for, our attention matters. It matters that we are here. It matters because we know what it is to feel attended to. We know the power of paying attention. I wonder if in this moment you might say these words together with me. We are here. And now to the lost and the lonely, let's say it. We are here. And to the hungry and the thirsty, we are here. And to the insecure and the anxious, we are here. And like Mary was for Jesus, we are here. And now, do you know what that is all around us? The sweet fragrance of attention, and it has filled this whole house. Amen. Friends, I invite us to stand and sing together, "Bless Now, O God, the Journey." Friends, God's great love leads us. Christ's great compassion compels us, and the Spirit's song uplifts us this day and forevermore. And now we bless each other as we go, singing, O Ancient Love.